From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again as we turn to the Word of God to Let the Bible Speak. We're glad you're with us, and I trust you'll be able to spend the rest of this 30-minute segment with us as we look again at Luke's Gospel chapter 4 and think of the Lord Jesus Christ taking Galilee by the power of the Spirit. We've been looking at the idea of the kingdom, and today we're going to be returning to emphasize three wonderful features of the kingdom as taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. So do stay with us. First, however, we start off with our hot topic for today, and I'm referring now to the opinion of a leading rock star, not someone I usually pay a lot of attention to, but ban religion. That's what Elton John says. Elton John, rock music's sodomite superstar, would ban all religion if he could. I quote, "I think religion has always tried to turn hatred towards gay people," John told the Observer newspaper's Music Monthly magazine. I quote again, "Religion promotes the hatred and spite against gays. There are so many people I know who are gay and love their religion. From my point of view, I would ban religion completely. Organized religion doesn't seem to work. It turns people into really hateful lemmings, and it's not really compassionate." Close the quote. John is almost as famous for his quirky glasses as he is for his music. Obviously, he wears other spectacles that are not so obvious, but that are certainly quirky. The lenses through which he looks at the world and evaluates religion, and I think the implication is that he means Christianity, must have been manufactured in Sodom and Gomorrah. Here's how he looks at life. "There's nothing wrong with homosexuality. It's every bit as valid and acceptable as heterosexuality. Anything that opposes it is evil. Anybody who opposes it is spiteful and full of hatred. If their opposition is based on what the Bible teaches, then religion doesn't work. For if it did, it would agree with Elton John's view of the world." So Elton John would ban all organized religion completely. Now, don't make the mistake of dismissing this as the rant of another fool of a pop star. It may be that, but it also gives us a very good idea of the kind of warfare that's being waged all around us. A warfare of which too many Christians seem blissfully unaware. Elton John and the rest of the sodomite lobby recognize that Bible Christianity is the enemy of the promiscuous and perverted lifestyle that they represent. Thus, they're committed to attacking it at every opportunity. They never let up in that attack. They use the media, the arts, and the attraction of the entertainment industry. The aim is to present sodomite perversion in a positive light and opposition to it as ignorant, reactionary, and dangerous. Since this opposition is usually Bible-based, then the Bible, or organized religion, must be overcome and even overthrown. Elton John's not simply sounding off. He and his cohorts would, if they had the power, ban organized religion, or at least use all the power of the state to curtail its ability to expose and oppose the evil of the grossly mislabeled gay culture. In fact, that effort has already got underway. In Europe last year, a pastor was charged and found guilty of a hate crime for condemning the sodomite movement. Though his conviction was overturned on appeal, it's clear that the use of state power to squelch a Bible-based moral stand is well underway. it can happen here in America. Many so-called stars are using their popular appeal in an effort to make it happen. And in what Bernie Goldberg calls the United States of Entertainment, star power is perhaps the most dangerous threat to Christian morality around. When the Pope issued his ban on Martin Luther, the great reformer retorted, "The Pope excommunicates Martin Luther? Martin Luther excommunicates the Pope." We are in a war that must be won. Elton John wants to ban religion. It's time we got back to the law that prevailed through the nation's history until just recently. It's time we ban sodomy and treated it as the vile, corrupting menace to society that it really is. So let us labour for the conversion of homosexuals to Christ while we lobby for the ban on sodomy to be restored throughout the Union.
Let the lowered light be burning, brightly beams our Father's mercy, from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rest, you may say.
Dark the night, how sin has set all, loudly the angry bells roar.
Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along on the shore, on the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor is tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. Oh, let the Lord's lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may say, yes, you may say.
In each broadcast here on Let the Bible Speak, we offer some free literature. One booklet we mention is A New Beginning, and I'd like to say a word to you about it. A New Beginning is an updated version, by updated, I refer mostly to the artistic presentation of the material, though the text has been slightly expanded. It's an updated version of a booklet I first produced in the 1970s. Since then, something around 500,000 copies have been distributed, and the Lord has richly blessed it. The booklet is a plain man's guide to what the Bible says on the matter of how to be saved. With an abundance of scripture quotation, it's an excellent yet simple presentation of the gospel to meet the needs of the lost. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to explain the biblical basis of assurance and to give instructions in the first steps of the Christian life. If you're not saved and would like help in understanding God's way of salvation, if you battle with the matter of assurance, or if you're a young believer needing help in the first steps of your new life, then this booklet will help you. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is
866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We trust that you'll be in touch with us soon. And if you need to have one, we'll be delighted to send you a new beginning.
Turn to our study of the Lord Jesus Christ taking Galilee by the power of the Spirit. We have been emphasizing the message, the gospel of the kingdom. I've taken some time to emphasize and describe what the Bible means by the gospel of the kingdom. Yesterday, I was able to at least commence pointing out that there are three fundamental ideas incorporated in the biblical teaching of the kingdom. So we're going to start with those three fundamental ideas, the first of which is power.
Three great fundamental ideas incorporated in this kingdom. The idea of power. From all that I've said, you can't get away from the idea of power. Jesus said to the Jews, Matthew 12:28, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. You see the power of the kingdom. We see it here in what we have been reading. He went about Galilee and he met the strangest and strongest manifestations of the powers of hell. And what did he do? With a word, with a touch, he destroyed them. That's power. That's power. Man, I love that statement I preached on a couple of months back, Romans 1. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. It's one reason, and I'm really running ahead of myself, but I mightn't get as far as I want this morning anyway. But it's one reason I am disturbed at the movement in the modern church away from preaching. We have preachers who are trained PR men. They're trained administrators. They're trained business executives. They know how to raise money. They know how to keep people happy. They know how to do psychological counseling. But how seldom do you find somebody who has the anointing of God to preach? Now, there's a place for all these skills that these men have. And I suppose in some ways you could say it's sour grapes if I don't have those skills. But God has ordained through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I have been told, even by ministers, but listen, they think I'm living in a past century. Well, I was born in the last century. Of course, so were most of you. In fact, I think all of you. One fellow said years ago, I attended here for a while, seemed to be blessed. Then he got, and I'll tell you where he went after that. I would say it was downhill, but he thought it was uphill. And his comment was, well, his preaching's very old-fashioned. He meant that as an insult. I took it as a compliment. It is old-fashioned. And what other preachers tell me, people nowadays are not willing to listen. Dr. Bob Jones, Jr., more than once remarked that it's not only that we should be praying to have better preachers, but we should be praying to have better listeners. Somehow I think the two things are interlinked. I don't want to be critical, but I have been to many places and I couldn't blame people for not listening. I mean, if I want to go to church if I want to find out some funny little story, I can go buy the same joke book as the preacher. And that's what they do. I can go buy the same book of little funny stories or touching stories or whatever kinds of stories. I have books and books of illustrations and stories of all kinds. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. You can go buy the same thing. I don't go to church for that. Now, if there's an apt illustration, well and good. But there must be the preaching of the gospel with power. And I want you to take this very much to heart. The kingdom is not in word, but in power. And where there's no power, there is no exercise by the King of His kingly supremacy. The kingly supremacy of Christ is not being manifested merely by an increased or inflated budget. It's not being exercised merely by bigger and better and more plush buildings. It is only being exercised where there is the power of the gospel. And as a church, we have got to take that very seriously. I trust that it will drive us to our faces before God to be praying for the mighty exhibition of the power of God. It's the necessity for the day in which we live. The kingdom is marked by power. Second, by righteousness. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What's the force of the "and"? Is His righteousness in addition to the kingdom? I think not. When you've got the kingdom, you've got it all. Surely, this is one of those occasions where it has the force, an explanatory force, and you could put in the word "even." Seek ye first the kingdom of God, even His righteousness. What is that righteousness? It is surely in this context a living in full submission to His will. In the light of our righteousness imputed, we are now seeking to live in a righteous submission to Him who has saved us. That's what we're to seek. What is the kingdom? Kingdom is righteousness. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I have to tell you honestly, that is a text that haunts me. It's a text that comes to my mind again and again, and I have to bring it before the Lord, and I must confess that mostly it condemns me. What is the kingdom? What is it to be a Christian? What is it to live in submission under Christ the King? It is to live in righteousness, not in worldliness, not in half-hearted wicked sinfulness, not in selfishness, not with a tongue that runs off into slander and libel and all the rest of these things. It is not a tongue that is wicked, tearing down, hurtful. It is not a life self-centered, but Christ-centered. Righteousness and peace. Living out the results of our reconciliation with God in the peace that floods the heart that submitted to Christ. Peace. Not worry. Not flying in the face of God in unbelief. Not fault-finding at the dispositions of providence. But a peaceful, righteous submission to God and His will. And joy in the Holy Ghost. You notice where the joy comes? Righteousness. Then peace. Then joy. You'll not get joy in any other way. Joy is the gift of the King to righteous, peaceable subjects of His grace. There's power, there's righteousness, and then there's blessedness. Matthew 5:1-12, you have what are called the Beatitudes, the blessed things. And you'll see what it is to be in the kingdom. Isn't it a wonderful thing that at the beginning of this great Sermon on the Mount, which in many ways is Christ preaching the gospel of the kingdom, that it starts off with the blessings of being in the kingdom. Now, listen, all this is true. The power, the righteousness, the blessedness, it's all true because of one vital truth. You remember John the Baptist came preaching that the kingdom was near. But with Jesus Christ, the preaching changed. The kingdom had come. You see, the kingdom arrived with the arrival of the King. I want you to understand that. Now that may sound strange to some of you coming from somebody who is an avowed, upfront premillennialist. I want to tell you that one of the greatest disservices done to premillennialism and to the study of prophecy generally has been the crazy notion that Jesus Christ is not yet King. That Jesus Christ has to wait, and yet maybe for a long time, before He ever can be King. Jesus Christ is the entire mediator, and that means He is the King. By preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the Lord Jesus proclaimed Himself to be the King. Now, we must understand that in strict biblical terms, not in the terms of a misplaced Jewish notion. The Jews looked for the Son of David to restore the fortunes of Israel. Now, as I've said, as a good premillennialist, I believe that that's included in the prophecies of Messiah. Messiah the Prince, as He's called. Jeremiah in chapter 30 speaks of the great tribulation period falling upon the Jews, such a time as has never happened before and will never happen again. The greatest time of tribulation the nation will ever have. And afterwards, he says, they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. That has never happened. And it will happen. Ezekiel 34:23 says, I will set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, even my servant David. He'll feed them and he shall be the shepherd. In the great 37th chapter of Ezekiel, where you can't spiritualize it simply to mean the church, for he says this speaks of Israel and of Judah and of the bringing up together of Israel and Judah in one nation. And he says, David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they shall all have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And I put it to you very simply, as a very simple Bible believer, that that is as plain a statement of the fact that there will be a royal personage called David my servant, the very Messiah Prince himself, ruling over a combined Judah and Israel in that land.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.